Yo, what's up, Dub Nation? Welcome on into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin, and I'm coming at you right after Kyle Anderson announced traded to the Warriors for a second round pick swap, low cash considerations. Essentially, the Warriors are using their trade exception from the Klay Thompson sign and trade, and rather than getting someone like a Josh Green or a Maxi Kleber from the Mavericks, we find a much better fit, a Warriors fit in Kyle Anderson. So I do have to say, Mike Dunleavy, I'm frustrated with your lack of making and landing that big move, but I do have to applaud you for, you know, making the best of a bad deal here, able to at least get someone that kind of fits that Warriors DNA when it could have been much worse. So it steps in the right direction. This feels like a rebound right after a long relationship, a marriage, and, you know, going through that breakup and the divorce. And, well, we've been left by the beauty that is a Klay Thompson jump shot. And, well, we've settled and got back in the game with a Kyle Anderson jump shot. Not quite as pretty. In fact, maybe the ugliest jumper in the league. But we're back in the game. Finally, a little bit of life to the Warriors. Whether you like it or not, I think he fits the Warriors well. And it's just nice to see that we're making some moves and getting players that can fill certain needs that the Warriors have. Obviously, not all needs. But again, Kyle Anderson. What I like most about Kyle Anderson is the length. 6'9", can play small ball center. He's basically kind of like Draymond Green insurance. He does all the things Draymond does. Would be tricky to navigate playing at the same time as Draymond just because, again, the spacing. But, you know, for whatever reason, if Draymond misses time when Draymond's on the bench. And, you know, there's some lineups where you might be able to play them together and you're just trying to go defensive. Maybe I'm watching too much soccer these days, but, you know, a nil-nil game and a low-scoring game, there are ways to win games that where you don't have to score very many points. So it seems very much right now that the Warriors are a Steph Curry and a bunch of defensive role players. But, you know, the teams have been built worse. I mean, you just saw the Mavericks basically get to the finals with two offensive players and a whole bunch of defensive role players. So it can work. Obviously, there are more moves to be made. The spacing, the scoring, still just a huge need. We'll kind of get to that in a little bit in the name of Lauri Markkanen. We're going to talk about the offer or the demands that I'm hearing that the Jazz are going to need from the Warriors or any team in order to move Lauri. But again, going back to Kyle Anderson, I like the move. Several reasons. First off, IQ. Right. He's a veteran. He's smart. He went to UCLA, my alma mater. So he must be a genius, great education. But in all reality, he is a very high IQ passer on the defensive side, elite defensive player. I think he had like a 108 defensive rating with the Timberwolves last year. NBA best defense for many reasons, but he definitely had a role in that, especially coming off the bench. And yeah, I think most importantly, on the offensive end, he is a great connector, good passer, sets very good screens, and gives you that extra ball handler that the Warriors are really very, very shallow on. Other than Steph Curry, and again, we know we want Steph Curry off the ball as much as possible as a shooter. I mean, it's really just Pajemski as a ball handler. It's Draymond Green as a ball handler. D'Anthony Melton is a ball handler, but we just got him. So Anderson kind of gives you a little bit more of that point forward approach. You can kind of just create and handle the ball a little bit more, and you can never have too much defense, too much length, which the Warriors have just needed length in a big way, and ball handling. Also, as we're talking about length, I also just heard that the Warriors are bringing on Terry Stott, former Bucks assistant coach, to be our lead assistant coach. Don't know a ton about Terry Stott other than he was a head coach for the Blazers a bit ago, and he's a former NBA player. But the reason I bring him up is because he is 6'8" and gives our coaching a little bit of length. He can never be too tall. Even if it's the coaching staff, the Warriors have been and Dub Nation have been clamoring for a little bit of size. So here you go. You got Terry Stott, a 6'8" assistant coach. Well, going back to Kyle Anderson, the role I see him filling, in addition to kind of just, you know, substituting with Draymond Green, he can be kind of a poor man's Iguodala, right? He's nowhere near the athleticism that Andre was. He's kind of like a John Livingston in that they're long, play very good defense, high IQ, good passer, good screener. We've kind of covered this already. Obviously, not an outside shooter. Iggy, much better shooter from the outside than Kyle Anderson, who I believe shot 23% from three last year. Honestly, I am not good at basketball, but I can say that I think my jumper looks better than one player's in the NBA, and that would be Kyle Anderson. So he'll shoot that corner three of left open just to kind of keep teams honest. And you hit a couple of those, a wide open corner three, gives you a little bit. I mean, he scores about like 7 to 9 points a game, gives you about 4.5, sometimes 5 assists, can rebound, just did a lot of those little things that like a Livingston or an Iguodala type would. Obviously, he's going to be kind of like an eighth man, seventh, eighth man, and depending on the situation, just gives you as much defense as you can handle. That being said, so now with the additions of Melton, additions of Kyle Anderson, the defense is loaded. And really, like, you think who's the odd man out? I mean, I hate to say it, but Gary Payton the second, you're probably still the best defender out of all of those guys I just mentioned. What? You're on offense, it's just not good enough, man. It's you can shoot the corner three better than Kyle Anderson. You are a lob threat, but just the lack of being able to be a ball handler, not really a connector. It's been tough. And I love you. And I just it feels like with the additions of Melton and Anderson that GP might be going out in a trade with that contract after opting in. So I hope this isn't the end because GP, there is always a use for an explosive, fun defensive player. And you're a very unique player. But again, we just have so much defense and just not enough offense, just to say the least. So we'll see who's the odd man out here. The other things that come to mind with this Anderson signing is you're adding a ton of wing front court depth. Now we've got Moody, Wiggins, Kuminga, Kyle Anderson. I mean, you have a lot of length at that 3-4 spot. Does this mean that the Warriors are basically positioning to make a big move? Does it mean Jonathan Kuminga could be on the move? We're going to get into this in just a second because that really is the million-dollar question with everything that the Warriors are going to be doing for the next couple of years is what do you do with Jonathan Kuminga? So looking back at this past weekend, the rumor now is that, well, not even the rumor, the report now is that Paul George was on the table. The Clippers wanted Kuminga. The Warriors said we're not throwing in Kuminga there. Man, that's a tough call. Dunleavy, I don't envy you. That is a very hard call. Gun to my head and just kind of my ear to the ground in terms of what it felt like Dub Nation wanted. It seems that priority one is, hey, let's go for it. I know fans are impatient. I know I just want to go for it. I know Steph Curry's window's closing. The go for it move is trading Jonathan Kuminga for the best win now player. That being said, I mean, just a little bit of a leap from Kuminga. Now he could just be a 20 to 21 point scorer. Paul George averaged, what, 23, 24? Kuminga just gives you the upside, gives you obviously many more years of a future. I can understand why it's such a tough decision to part with him just for a player for maybe 1 or 2 years. That's an upgrade. But that being said, 1 to 2 years is maybe all the Warriors have left in this title window, if we're even calling it that. So you're kind of damned if you do, you're kind of damned if you don't. And looking forward, it's the exact same situation with Lauri Markkanen. So the way this team is constructed right now and the way the modern NBA looks is, let's look at like the Mavericks and look at the Celtics, the two teams in the finals. You need two scorers, two alpha, and maybe a beta scorer, and they need a whole bunch of role players. Versatile defenders, guys that can space the floor, protect the rim. The Warriors have the role players in place. It feels a lot like last year where you have kind of different roles. You need more two-way players to fill hybrid roles, which De'Anthony Melton sort of gives you. You need that second scorer in place. The only way to do that is Jonathan Kuminga. You either need to make the leap and become a 21 points isn't even enough. You need to become a 23-point scorer if the Warriors are going to be competitive and contend in the playoffs. And your shot needs to be able to provide spacing. The Warriors don't have enough spacing as it is. I think more moves are on the way, but Jonathan Kuminga, the most direct path for the Warriors and preserve the future is Kuminga makes a huge leap. A Wiggins-like shooting improvement. When the Wiggins first came to the Warriors, I think he went from being year before, like a 34% 3-point shooter, all the way up to like a 38, 1 year, 39% 3-point shooter on good volume. Somehow, Jonathan Kuminga, if you can make that leap, turn yourself into a 38% 3-point shooter on enough attempts to get you up to 23 points per game, now you might have enough scoring with this tenacious defense that the Warriors seem to put together. Lot of defenders. A lot of just kind of depth on that side and a lot of length now at the wing. That team's competitive, but I am still going to say, Kuminga, if there's any way to keep him, great, but it sounds like we're going to have to send him out if you're going to make that move for a Lauri Markkanen. What I'm hearing, and this is just kind of listening to a couple of the Jazz radio shows and kind of the guys that cover the Jazz, it sounds like the need for the Jazz right now in order to move Lauri is they want Kuminga. They want Moody and they want 3 first-round picks and a pick swap. They say 4 first-round picks. We can only move 3. And then one would have to be a swap. I believe we can trade 3 firsts and we can swap 4 firsts. That's pretty freaking steep, guys. You could sub Pajemski in there for basically either a first round pick or Moody. It's kind of the same thing. It's too steep for me. I think for you guys too. I mean, how much better is there's a chance Kuminga in 2 years from now is better than Markkanen. I would rather have Markkanen, especially for this next year and for the shooting he provides. But there is a non-zero chance that Kuminga could end up just being better than Markkanen as soon as 2 or 3 years from now. And then what have you done? That's the fear. But the reality is the Warriors, it's too steep for the Warriors to do that trade. The Warriors are too desperate as it pertains to the Steph Curry situation to do nothing. I don't know what I would do. If you can get that trade down any less, a pick less, hold on to Moody, just do get a little bit better there. Maybe even just get a player sent back. I don't think they're gonna move like I don't think we can even take on like Clarkson or who's their other scorer? Drawing a blank, but Jazz have another guy that scores 17 points per game. You can yell it at me right now if you remember, but I don't think we can swing that in the contract. So, as the deal is, my answer is I'm gonna sit on it and be patient. Hope this team can keep me in playoff contention, and then I'm gonna revisit kind of mid-season. You know, hopefully things have kind of improved situation. Some new players have become available for teams that are kind of tanking, and then revisit there rather than just blatantly overpay for Lowry. But if you make the move, I would not be upset because Lowry is that missing link to this team. He's the spacing at the five, which the Warriors need size. They need spacing. Sorry, not the five, but at the four. But he can be a stretch four, stretch five, kind of the same thing with Draymond. But he's that second scorer. He can be a lob threat. Defense, he doesn't give you a ton of blocks, but he can alter shots at the rim with his length and he can stay in front of some of the perimeter players in the league. He can move those feet. So you pair Steph, you got Markkanen. I'm assuming Kuminga has to go out. If there's any way to keep Kuminga, you just make it happen. All the picks and Pajemski, Moody, send them. But that being said, it's Wiggins, it's Melton, and it's Draymond Green. And then you got a lot of depth. You got Kyle Anderson. Hopefully, you still have Pajemski. That's a competitive team. I don't know if it's a contending team, but again, you're still maybe a move or two away. And now you're right there, and you can kind of see how things work. Markkanen's the type of player that will make Steph Curry better because of the spacing. Steph Curry is the type of player that makes everyone better. Markkanen could be a 27-point scorer with the Warriors. I doubt it. And I'm skeptical of it, but you just never know. You see some guys change the scenery, come to a very established, great culture like the Warriors. What was a great culture? I don't know anymore. But you can maybe comprehend that leap. So really, here's where I'm at. It's not my decision. I know it's Mike Dunleavy's decision, but I would leave it up to Steph Curry. Steph, you can include Draymond here. Hey, Steph, what do you want to do? I know you guys love Kuminga. Draymond's talked about he won't even trade Kuminga for LeBron midseason. But it's kind of up to them on what they want this window to be. If you want to go for it, Steph, you've earned that right. If you want to say, hey, let's go all in, we're going to go for it for 2, maybe 3 years. After that, you know, you're done. We still have Markkanen, if you assume you max him out, and you can kind of still build around that, but you're just a middling to a low team and you're rebuilding versus. You're kind of playing the middle right now. You're kind of flirting with the playoffs. You're not going to win anything now. And chances are, with a Kuminga-led team in the future. You know, that's also probably a mid team. You just don't know in the future. So this is your best chance to go for it. Steph Curry, I would say you tell me what you want to do. He has good judgment. He's not a selfish guy. If he thinks the Warriors, by pushing their chips in, by getting rid of Kuminga and bringing in on marketing, gets it done and makes you competitive and keeps you happy, let's do it. So that's where I'm at. Steph, balls in your court. If only it was that easy. But yeah, we'll see. I think we're gonna see a couple more moves coming up in the next week or so. But I do really like the start to this post Clay era. Mike Dunleavy, good job so far. Good job in the draft. I do like the picks. Now, let's get the big move done, Dunleavy. Let's see if you can get hammered home without overpaying. And let's see if we can get this next year and this offseason a little bit optimistic on hopefully our second phase of our golden age. All right, guys, I'll be back with you a little later this week, hopefully to break some big news that a big fish has come to the Warriors. Until then, I'm Chris Chin. Please don't forget to like and subscribe. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.